And to start, we've been talking about in this section, amplifying your energy. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. That's in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. So we've been talking about amplifying, which is basically charging up, get your energy up and revved up and going, sort of like one of those race cars, which we don't have the big racetrack out there, but we used to have it. You know, the big racers especially, they line up, they put their brakes on, and they rev those engines, and they burn those tires to get that rubber hot so it'll stick to the pavement for a little bit, and then they shut it down, and then they watch for the lights, and off they go. And that's kind of like we, you know, for us, we should be revved up, ready to go all the time. And, but is that the case? Oh, I see his head shaking. No. Why not? Why aren't we revved up, ready to go any and every, all the time? Huh? We don't have that amplified, charged up energy all the time? How about a little bit of time? We had charged up energy a little bit of time? Nate, I know you're charged up a little bit of the time, weren't you? Yeah, okay. At least a little bit. Okay. I saw a hand somewheres. Okay, Martha? We can wake up in the morning and you roll over, open your eyes. At least for me, open eyes, and my first thought is, am I sore any place? Am I hurting here or hurting there? You know, so those type of things. But then you get up and, you know, not feeling too bad, ready to go and meet the day. And then you just one phone call away from, you know, taking that positive into a negative all of a sudden. Those things are going to happen to all of us. But we should allow that negative to last for a short period of time and we get revved up and charged up again, ready to go. It sounds like I just lost my voice. But anyhow, that's okay. They're playing back there in that little box. It's the... let me find it again. It's the Colossians 1, 28 through 29. It's the same one we started off with last week. So, you know, our zeal is equally stirred when you form an emotional connection with God and his word. Or it should be stirred. We should have that emotional connection. We should be fired up, really excited about the Lord, okay? And try to take, I can't say every, because every opportunity doesn't always approach, and you know, it's wrong timing sometimes, but every time you possibly can, be charged up so you try to visit with somebody about the gospel. And that's one of those things that we've just got to stay with it and kind of keep beating ourselves over the head sometimes, but trying to stay revved up all the time. The more you love God, okay, the more we love God and love seeing his will accomplished on this earth, the more your energy will be amplified to live with zeal. Okay? Got that? That can be a lot right there. The more you love God and love seeing His will accomplished on this earth, and the more your energy will be amplified to live with zeal. The more we see things happening that are for the good, the more it should get us charged up. Have y'all seen anything for the good going on right now in all of our news that's been going on? I don't like mixing much with politics. Carla? Yeah, like what? Well, I think that's a good. Now, yeah, you're on target. You're thinking. I mean, you know, the last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of stuff, you know, stirred up going. How about the Gaza thing that has happened all of a sudden? News come out that we may just take over Gaza, move them all out for a while, go in there and clean it up, straighten it up, rebuild it. And as they start drifting back in, that's fine. Huh? Oh, I'm sure all that stuff. But has anybody ever thought of that type of idea? No, but everything they've done in the past has not worked. I've kept hearing that over and over the news. For the last 500 years, nothing has worked. They came up with treaties and this and that, and nothing has worked. So, what do? You totally think outside the box? Who knows? And we don't know if any of that's going to happen. But my whole point is saying all that. Sometimes we see things like that, and just me personally, I think God has a finger in here. Moving around, trying to help on all this stuff, okay? Because remember, he uses sometimes bad people who are not his people to do things that help his people, okay? We've seen that all the way through in the Old Testament going on. You know, different times, they get called off captivity, then they were allowed to come back and rebuild the temple and all that. I mean, God's hands are working in so many type of ways we'll never, ever understand because we're not God. We're not Christ. We're not the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am. Well, sometimes we know those things, but sometimes it's kind of, you don't want to really say them out loud, you know. But, yeah. And most of that whole section that was wiped out was, I'm going to call it the ultra rich to a great degree. Not all, but a lot of them were. And, yeah, that's right. That's what we saw. We didn't see it all. But yes, there's a lot of things like that. A lot of calamity brings people back to their knees a lot of times. You think 9/11. When 9/11 hit, at that point in time in our society, we had dropped pretty low in church attendance, all those things. 9/11 hit, and Bush got on the bandwagon. We're going to fight the terrorists, and here we went. And all of a sudden, because of all that happening, church attendance really boosted. Most places were 50% to 60% more. For what? How long? How long did that last? Y'all remember back then? Huh? Joni? It was about 2.5 years, and then church attendance started dropping again. And then we're at an all-time low again, okay? You read all the time, at least I have different things I pick up and read about, is the about how church attendance is at a low, and this church group is down, and this one is down, and so forth. So it's a struggle on that situation. Ready thing that saying that within the next 20 to 30 years, there will be no physical churches. Everything will be online. Somebody wants to do church, they just go online, punch whatever religion that you're going to support. You just punch it online and listen to a sermon or whatever and do that. That's sad to even think that people are starting thinking those terms. Very, very sad. And I don't think that's what the Lord meant for, you know, for us to end up going to. So, some of us, a lot of us maybe won't make it to see that type of thing happen. But, and hopefully it will never come to that way. But because we need that edification of being around each other. God designed, and we'll change gears, off that rabbit trail. God designed and created our bodies to be rejuvenated every day through healthy amounts of what? We got to be rejuvenated by how? How are we going to get rejuvenated? Tongue twister. Sleep, rest, okay. What else? Food. Anything else? Move. That's correct. I'm going to throw in a little bit of exercise, okay, type situation. But part of that exercise is mental exercise, visiting with people, doing something, working puzzles, those type of things. I mean, it's been proven time after time, people who are isolated and they do not do mental activities decline even faster. Type thing. The biggest thing here lately is nanoparticles of plastic that has now crossed the barrier and is now encroached our brains. Yeah, micro nanoplastics, is that it? I couldn't remember the exact deal. But they're proving that most of us have plastics in our brain now, little tiny, tiny microbes. And they have no idea how that's going to affect us on our memories and our health in the future, but they're there type thing. How did they get there? Anybody know how they got there? It's the number of plastic bottles. They think it comes from plastic bottles because that plastic is not as the super plastics that they use in containers that you can put in a microwave that has the extra super plastic lining on them. And, well, that's correct. There's certain plastics you can and others you can't. But yes, you are correct on that. So, if I had Terry here, I would let Terry give us, insight on some of that because he gave me a lesson about those plastics, which I had no idea about. You see a plastic container, it's plastic, but there's layers and layers and layers of plastic. And then the final layer they put for the food is a special layer. So I wasn't aware of that. But what I'm getting at on all that is that we got to still have certain things, but yet there's certain things in our environment that do attack our body and create problems. But we got to still have that rest. We got to get rest. Okay? We got to have some movement. We got to have nourishment. We got to eat stuff. If you make good choices in these areas, you will usually have plenty of energy for what? Zealous endeavors. Okay? If you don't work on those things, I stumbled across her, it's been a few months ago. Lady, I know that her sister ratted on her and said that all her sister eats, all she eats are chips and dips and Coke. She doesn't eat any type of real food, no veggies. She'll go down and she'll eat two bags of Cheetos for supper I'm talking about family-sized bags, evidently. Things like that. Now, you look at her sister, she looks pretty healthy. You look at her physically, but I found out from the sister that her sister, blood work is horrible. It's out of the roof on cholesterols and this and that and so forth. So internally, she's about to have a breakdown at some point in time for sure. But externally, she looks fine. You know, but again, we got to watch what we're putting into our bodies, just like we have to watch what we're putting into our minds. Okay? I know a gentleman, and I don't see Ed in here, but I know Ed was in with a discussion that we had several discussions with, that he got watching the internet on all this Muslim stuff and the Quran and all that type of stuff, and was a Christian, and he's watched that stuff and got so brainwashed that we could not reason with him. That is sad. That is sad. But again, it's what you put in. You know, it can overtake you very easily in so many ways. Consider for a moment how exhausting the Savior's day was. Moving from town to town, he was preaching the gospel, kept him very busy. Pharisees always nipping at him with questions, trying to trip him up. Continually walking, you know, they walked every place, situation. He had to deal with the critics, the immature disciples, and the endless needs of the multitudes who were following him around. It had to be pretty tiring. He knew what it took to regain his strength, so he would wake up and do it all over again. Okay? So there's some habits we're going to talk about that Christ did to keep him going, and should I be able to help us keep going too. Physical rest. One of the human moments that the scriptures record about Jesus is in Luke 8:23, when he takes a nap. Think about that. Christ just got away from everybody, and he took a nap. He also got away, and he would pray. But he took a nap. Exhaustion leaves you more vulnerable to bad attitudes and bad choices. How many times you had a bad day at work? I mean, it's a horrible day at work. Everything went wrong that could go wrong. And you get home, you walk in. Are you in a good smiling mood when you meet your wife? We get a look up here at each other. But y'all know what I'm talking about. No situation in which the wife ratted on the husband. She was vacuuming her house. They had a big picture window in the living room. She was in there vacuuming. And she sees her husband drive up in the driveway in his truck. And so she's vacuuming, she's watching. He gets out of the truck, and she said, he just slammed that door as hard as he could, and their big dog come bouncing up so happy to see him, and her husband hauled off and tried to kick their dog as hard as he could, and the dog jumped out of the way, his leg flew in the air, and he fell flat on his back out in the concrete. And she said her first thought was, oh no! She turned the vacuum off, and she got to the door, and she said, oh no. If he's in that bad mood, I'm not going out there yet. She went back in, puts the vacuum in, up, goes in the kitchen. Did not go out at all. She said he finally came in the door, you know, kind of hobbling around and everything, and said, wow, yeah, it's great to see you. What's going on? So, I did a little slip and fall and so forth. Never told her what happened. Well, lo and behold, he goes and calls and comes in. And as normal, I said, what'd you do? Oh, I had a little slip and fall. And my next question, did you fall at work? If you fall at work, I'm not the doctor for that. You got to go one of those special work comp docs. And no, it wasn't at work. It was at home. I said, yeah, home? Where? In the driveway. I said, well, it had been raining. Driveway that slick? And I don't remember what he told me, but, you know, he never came. I kept questioning. He never came clean to tell me. He kicked at the dog, and the dog jumped out of the way, and he fell. Lied about it, basically. Okay? He just wouldn't tell. How can we be the same way? We can be the same way. We got to be so careful on that. Because so many times our attitude when we approach someone will set off a good attitude with the other person or a bad attitude. You come in upset with your spouse, you're going to cause a bad attitude. I mean, here we go with things. Okay? Choices. Sometimes you need to be like Jesus, keep up and just get caught up on your sleep. I mean, we get so tired. How many of you get so tired when you come in from work and you just go in and take a nap before you really get up and start working on cooking a meal or anything like that? Any of you ever do that? Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, that's a common thing many times, especially on a Saturday. You get up, you do your stuff around the house, and by 1 or 2 o'clock comes and disappear. Yeah, it's nap time. Sunday afternoon, what happened? How many of you take a nap every Sunday afternoon? Whoa, a lot of hands just went up. So it tells me right now that on Sunday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, good time to call y'all. Huh? One by one. Phone rang and rang, don't answer. Well, I won't leave a message. Y'all just see my number if you got it plugged in. So I won't do that to you, okay? But there's a lot of things there that we need to have physical rest to, okay? If we don't have physical rest, our body will suffer from it, and we're going to have a bad attitude. Our attitudes will suffer too. Beware of laziness, but don't deny your need for rest. Once you're refreshed, you can give your best to, when you get up to meet every day's challenges. Proverbs 6, everybody writing this down, Proverbs 6, 10 through 11 talks about that, and Matthew 6 and 34. Now, another thing, physical nourishment. The Bible doesn't say much about physical diet or exercise of Jesus. We do know that he walked a lot. We know that. A lot of walking. In terms of your nourishment, and also the walking, he didn't have the fancy Hokas and all these type of specialized shoes that's supposed to make you feel like you're walking on air and all that type of stuff either. What did they have back then? Sandals, kind of an old leather, cowhide or whatever type of leather type sandals. And they didn't have a special thick sole, so anytime you stepped on a pebble, you liable to get a stone bruise, all those type of things. You get dirt between your foot and the sandal. You know how that can be very annoying, all those type of things. And that's what they all had back then. So thinking those things like that, we got it so easy nowadays. We knew that he walked a lot. In terms of your nourishment, remember that gluttony, okay, carries physical and spiritual consequences that keep Christians from being their very best. I just got to go off on a rabbit trail. I just flashed through. Talk about gluttony. Years ago, over in Kima, or someplace over there off Nash Road 1, there was one of these all-you-can-eat seafood restaurants, big buffet type thing. You go in, you pay one price, eat all you can eat, they had dessert and all that type of stuff. Well, a group said, hey, let's everybody get together and go over there. So Marge and I was invited. We went on a group over there, and and went through buffet line. Well, once you went through first, you're pretty stuffed. I mean, they were making money. There's no doubt about that as far as the restaurant. And the but there was one of the Christians that was with us. He'd gone through the line. I see him plate piled up, you know, and I'm really paced just trying to nibble, you know, talk with people. And I noticed here in a little while, he came back with another plate just piled up. I thought, wow, somebody has a stomach that's large. Well, I got up and went to the restroom. Well, lo and behold, while I was in the restroom, he comes in, goes in a stall, and what do you think I heard? Huh? He was throwing up. He was eating a big plate of food, then go in there and throw up. Go get another big plate of food. Okay? Sad. Rebecca, I'm sorry. You got your ears covered. Now, that is gluttony. Okay? Now, I said something to him, but I said, man, why are you doing this yourself? I mean, you're causing all kind of extra stretching your esophagus and so forth. He told me, he said, Jim, I don't want to hear all that. Leave me alone. I've been doing this for years. Okay? And he may still be doing it. I don't know. I haven't seen him now in a long, long time. But there's that carries in physical, okay, consequences. Spiritual, because I looked at him totally different after that. I couldn't help it, you know. Christians have to be, or do our very best. We got to bring our A game all the time. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, that's like earlier when I talked about the lady sister that only ate junk food, all the chips and all that. I mean, she had a gluttony for all that type of stuff, okay? You need to make choices about food that are in alignment with your spiritual goals, okay? After all, our bodies are to be instruments of righteousness, Romans 6:13. That's Romans 6:13. How sad it would be to examine your life and realize that an unhealthy diet kept you from reaching your greatest potential in God's family. What you eat may not be the most important thing. But it can be a factor in your zeal. There's no doubt about that. Spiritual nourishment. Jesus knew that being spiritually nourished was even more important than physical nourishment. To have lifelong zeal, you must make it your habit to remain spiritually nourished. Jesus promised, "Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied." Matthew 5:6. You must regularly feast on the words of life taught by the Savior, just like we need to regularly eat physically food to keep our bodies going. We have to do that to keep our spirit going and be nourished. That's part of the reason why God wants us to meet on the first day of the week, to remember Him, to study more of His will. Meet on Wednesdays, same type of thing. We got to have that. Okay? If we don't, we start withering away. And that's the reason why we're doing talking this class, because we have, and I'm very afraid we have some our members who are withering away because they're not getting that spiritual nourishment on a regular basis the way they need to be. You got to feast on the words of life taught by the Savior. Jesus had a weekly custom of going to the synagogue and participate in worship to God in Luke 4 and 16. So what habits do you have to stay spiritually nourished? I just throw that question out. What habits do you have? Cheryl, you're looking right at me.
Attending Wednesday
and Sunday night services. Okay, we got to have that habit to help us stay spiritually nourished. You miss out on lessons. Some lessons, and I'll use Todd for example because we've had him at night at some time. He does one lesson in the morning and the lesson that night a lot of times are tied in. Until we had Darren do the Sunday morning classes, they would do, the preachers that would come in would do a class and then the sermon. The two were a lot of times related. So if you missed the class, you missed something that pertained to the sermon too. So it's very important in those type of things. On that. Anything else? Well, what else do we do? Habits.
I'm trying something new this year. I've tried reading through the Bible before. And it seems like, you know, you get a few months in, and you start waning and trying to catch up. So my kids, my daughter, and them, they have the Apple, it's on my Apple phone, the Bible. So now it reads it to me while I'm reading it, and I've stuck with it much longer. Right now I'm doing the 90 days to read the New Testament in 90 days, but you listen to someone reading it while you're reading, and that has helped stick with my Bible reading.
Yeah. Well, did you know you could set that up when you go to bed at night, let it be playing and you're listening to it while you sleep, and you're going to actually absorb some of it too. I learned that. Yeah. 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 Everybody here, Celeste, you know, have that word, it's reading, and you're following while they're reading it. Really a great idea, okay, on that. That'll help. That's a good habit right there. Anything else? Somebody else got something? Prayer. Prayer. We got to have daily prayer, okay? How many of you do a daily Bible reading? Okay, I'm not going to get on to you if you don't. I'm hit miss. I have to admit that. You know, I'm doing these classes. I do a lot more. Okay, but I'm hit and miss too. But daily Bible reading, prayer, all those type of things will help us. Anything else? Any other good habits? Way in the back. Speak up. Yeah, either way, it's implanting in the mind more, okay? That's the key, because we know, which science has taught us, the first time you read something or you hear something, you're only going to absorb and remember a very small percent. The next time, it's a little bit more, next time a little more. It takes actually about 10 to 14 times, we usually say a dozen times, for it to really start sinking in. It goes over the 50% mark, okay? So there's things like that, but it's, again, it's that daily over and over and over. Okay, anybody else on that? Okay. Spiritual exercise. We've been talking about nourishment. Now, spiritual exercise. John 4:31 through 34. The apostles were surprised that Jesus didn't want to stop his work to eat. Okay? Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Like an athlete who wants to practice for one more hour. He's so into it, he wants to keep going for another hour. Jesus was so passionate about his doing the Father's will that it gave him an eternal sense of urgency, of vibrancy. It just made him get excited. Because he loved what he was doing, he could keep on doing it long after others would stop and rest. When you identify ways to serve in God's kingdom that tap into your strongest talents and greatest desires, you will actually gain energy through serving. You'll build that momentum that keeps you going with a joyful heart long after others would quit." What do y'all think about that? Right on it. And another thing along with what Johnny's talking about is the aspect that I've heard people say that, well, of course Christ did that because he was deity. Christ came to this earth as a man. His deity was put to the side. And so he still had physical needs, okay? But I can almost say that everybody in here has a passion about some hobby or something, and you get busy doing that, and you will put off eating for an hour or two so you can finish that project you're working on. You don't even think about hunger because you're concentrating on doing this. And that's what this is all talking about. And we should all have the desire to try to learn more about Christ for this spiritual exercise on that. I'm going to make a comment here real quick before my time's about out. Big John, how long was you over at the border? Two and a half years that John's been down at the border, deployed down there, and he's back, hopefully to stay, and everything. And I found out from him last week that he didn't go to church services down there.
That was when I was overseas.
I was when you're overseas. Okay, I misunderstood. Okay, when he's overseas,
that was
9 months, but still 9 months overseas. But what he did, instead of going in and listening to an Episcopal or some other type of religion on their church services, he studied on his own that whole time. And that study pays off, doesn't it? Okay. Sometimes you can almost do that more, but you're in a dire circumstance. In a different circumstance, we should still gather with like minds of Christians, okay? But gathering with heathens was probably not the best thing to do. So that's for sure. time's up. Glad everybody came out today, this evening. I'll see y'all Sunday morning, all primed and ready to go, smiling, being charged up. And Martha, you're waving your hand. Ladies' Bible class is in the morning, 10 o'clock here. So let's not forget that, ladies. Thank y'all.